Hello and welcome to Kernel of Truth, a Cumulus Network podcast where we focus on virtual veracity, legitimate Linux learning, and data center demystification. Whether we're discussing ASICs or back to the basics, you can count on Kernel of Truth for unique insight into the world of open networking. The big question we're going to try and answer today is, why Linux in the data center? Let me just introduce myself really quickly. My name is Maddie Emery. I work at Cumulus Networks on the content production team. So, at Cumulus Networks, we have a tradition on someone's first day. We ask them to introduce themselves by saying, who are you and why do we care? That's how we're going to introduce our two guests. I have with me Shrijit, the former VP of Engineering at Cumulus Networks. Shrijit, who are you and why do we care?
Sure. My name is Shrijit. You care because we have been the company that has fueled the open networking revolution. We have been instrumental in a whole bunch of early adopter and early moving community or operations. And I've seen most of those come to fruition while in my tenure here.
Hi, guys. I'm Rupa. Like Shrijit, I've been here for a really long time. I lead the kernel team and doing Linux all day here. Why do you care? Because I release the kernel for the kernel team for Cumulus Linux. And any extensions, any Linuxy things that we want in the Linux kernel or ecosystem, me and my team are on it.
Let's just break the ice a little bit and start. Can either of you tell me what you think a bingineer is?
A bingineer. It's got who binges. It's somebody who cannot stop themselves from writing code.
That's actually pretty close, yeah. The official definition of bingineer being a professional designer and tester of heavy, high-proof binge-drinking beverages for personal consumption and experimental analysis. Let's get a little...
Now that the interview is out of the way.
Let's get into why we're here. We want to talk about why Linux. Let's start out with a really quick question just to get us a little fired up. So pretend you've got 60 seconds to convince a team of network engineers that Linux is the future of the data center. What are the three top benefits you have to convey? You only have 60 seconds. What's the most important reason?
Do you want your network to be different from everything else in your data center? I'm guessing the answer is no, so that's reason number one. Do you want to invent tools to figure out what the problem is, or do you want to use tools that a million other people have written before? And number three, do you want something that's very well understood as a model that people can reference, that, you know, hundreds of people out there know how it's going to work, or are you going to figure out for yourself how a piece of equipment works when it shows up? And specifically, I guess we are talking about networking in the data center, and
right. And
that's an area where Cumulus has actually moved the ball significantly forward in all the efforts we've taken over the years.
What about you, Rupa?
Yeah, I second what Shrijit said. It's openness, visibility, consistency or uniformity in deployment, automation, and innovation. I mean, when you're having Linux everywhere in the data center, it becomes seamless. And there is uniformity in deploying. Things get easier. Yeah.
We got the softball out of the way. Let's get to a little more of a hard-hitting question. Let's talk a little about, what does it take to make open networking viable?
So the question around making it viable is really about, is the ecosystem there? Is the stack actually performant? Is the protocol there such that it are the protocols there such that they interoperate with everybody else, and so on and so forth? So let's talk about each of those segments a little bit of detail. The ecosystem, right? If you buy a PC today or you buy a server today, the chances that it will just run Linux is 100%. If you buy a network switch today, the chances that it will just run Linux is almost 0%. So the first thing that you have to do is make it such that the ecosystem is viable, that you can just walk into a store, pick up a piece of hardware, and it will most likely do what you want it to do. Cumulus has done things like Oni, which has been a huge step forward, to make it such that a vendor can say, here's how I signal to the rest of the world that this piece of equipment that I make is going to be able to run Linux. Then once you've solved that problem, you have to address the fact that the stack, the networking in open networking, actually is compliant, is that it can do all the things and has all the bells and whistles that people are expecting from it. And when we started, Linux was the predominant networking stack on the server, on compute, for virtual machines, for containers, and so on and so forth. But not a lot of attention was being paid to sort of enterprise-grade networking stacks. And we've participated, we've contributed, we have been helped by other people contributing into the stack, and we've benefited from it, frankly, such that we can now assemble, with the help of the community, the stack that is interoperable, that can do things like any other enterprise-grade stack.
Right.
And finally, FRR and routing, which has been sort of the last piece of the puzzle, which we've also been very heavily involved in, is needed such that people can interoperate with us. Because it turns out, networking is about talking to other people, not just doing your thing right.
What are we doing right now? We're talking with each other. There you go.
We are networking.
All right. So, Rupa, wanted to pass this over to you and talk a little bit about your significant contributions.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been with Cumulus for a really long time. And when Cumulus opened this whole networking, data center networking, enterprise networking to people, I mean, opened up the system for innovation, there were so many interesting problems and challenges to be solved. And for an engineer, challenging problems are always very interesting. So in the beginning, like I think you mentioned IFFDown 2, and IFFDown 2 was a network interface manager. The one big hole we saw was how to configure thousands of interfaces, which has never been a host problem. Hosts and VMs, they always came up with a small set of interfaces, and it was easier to manage them. But now when we opened Linux with the wide range of network interface configuration, and there was no such tool available outside, it was an interesting problem to solve. And one major thing to solve there was ordering of all these configuration on a single Linux box at scale. That was something I was happy doing in my initial days at Cumulus. And then me and also the rest of the team, Shujit and everybody here, we have contributed a lot of things to the Linux kernel as well in the areas of MPLS, making it scalable, a single VXLAN device or Linux bridge optimizations. And there is WRF too, which we contributed. So it's been fun. And the collaboration aspect that Shujit mentioned earlier, we have had tremendous success in that. I mean, we work with the community. We are a very small team, but then there is the rest of the community along with us developing similar solutions. And we have seen it. We have seen it with lightweight tunnels, which people on the host side were coming up with something similar. And it has helped us and them in turn.
All right.
And it's still ongoing. We have just scratched the surface. There are many, many interesting problems to be solved. And
you mentioned how there's sort of a I help you to help me sort of community going on with networking, and that idea that especially with Linux, you have a whole community to back you up, mm-hmm. and the really interesting environment that creates. So I was actually hoping to ask, how do both of you see the Linux community sort of evolving in the near future? You mentioned we've only really scratched the surface. Where are some areas that maybe still require some growth in the community, but what are the strengths that you also see sort of pushing it forward?
The high-level answer would be that Linux as a community existed before Cumulus, it'll probably exist after Cumulus, and so on and so forth. Right? I mean, it's a force of nature today. It's got hundreds of thousands of people who've contributed over the years, and it's not just networking, it's everything, right? Your cell phone probably runs some variant of Linux, your car runs some variant of Linux, and so on and so forth. In terms of networking and the area that we care about, the evolution in the kernel has been to go from host, as in computer networking, to networking equipment networking. So what that, and especially the area that Cumulus has contributed the most, is really not so much in terms of code, but maybe more in terms of focus and shining a light onto the problems that exist in that space. So what is the area of growth is going to be to harmonize these two camps over time, right? Ideally, networking today, or rather I'll say it this way, networking today already exists in the server, inside network cards, inside router switches, and inside, you know, really big systems that telcos use. And they're all fragmented and fractured. The ideal answer is that the same solution, the same class of solutions, the same tools, the same infrastructure works uniformly everywhere. And if we can get to that spot, that'll be great. Yeah. I'm sure Rupa can talk about specific directions and functions that the Linux kernel is focused on right now that we would like to see evolve.
Yeah. So when we started, we started SwitchDev and efforts to make the community understand that we have new class of devices that are going to run Linux networking and are going to demand scale, new features, take Linux networking to aggressive levels. So it was interesting. First 2 years, we had to get into the community, introduce ourselves and so on, and submit patches and so on. But now the community understands us, recognizes that there are switch ASICs out there, boxes and new hardware that are coming up with amazing capabilities that the Linux kernel needs to support. And we have seen this over the past 5 years. I mean, the community has grown stronger around us, and we have been active too, and that helps also. And I think from here on, as we have established our base in the Linux ecosystem and community, we are on the roll to actually support many more things for the data center enterprise and...
and beyond.
Yeah, beyond.
What are some ways that people should be taking advantage of when it comes to the Linux kernel? You know, sometimes people are a little hesitant to get started with Linux. There are a couple beliefs that they might hold that aren't maybe quite as true as they think. And I was wondering if you, either of you, had any advice about someone who maybe is a little unsure about Linux and how they could get into it a little more.
So sure. The strengths of an open Linux system and ecosystem is it gives a lot of tools and a lot of different ways to do things, and people go really creative. So one thing that's useful, I mean, I have contributed to the community and I've also learned a lot from the community, and I'm always looking out for learning more. And when you learn more, I mean, you apply those to different things and you can see results in creative ways. So there is a lack of documentation, I would say, and Cumulus has done a fairly good job trying to put the networking documentation out there. And even the community is getting aware of this, and they are working harder to get that sorted out. But yeah, get a box and playing with it is the best thing.
So I'll add a few sentences. So I think the fear of the kernel that you mentioned is real, right? I mean, people, if you roll back 30 years, people would say software is something that does magic. The kernel is the high priest of magic, or the high priestess, keeping the company in mind. That you need to know the dark arts to be able to go write code into the kernel. Now, historically, that has been actually a good thing, because what it did was it kept the kernel sort of sacrosanct, clean, perfect. Not everybody was allowed to go polluted, if you will. The modern version of software is very different. Software needs to be open and transparent so that people understand exactly what it does. You can go open up the source and understand how things work, and it becomes a reference model. The kernel becomes a thing that's enforced, and therefore everybody has to sort of work with it, accede to it, and make sure that they interoperate in a meaningful way. And that's the kind of thing an operating system kernel does. So if you take that goodness and you add in sort of the modern aspect that software should be open and transparent, you can't think of a better thing to do. It still sort of carries this fear that, you need to master the dark arts before you can. But I would say for anybody who has the thought, try it. The community is actually quite welcoming. I mean, there are exceptions and sometimes you get yelled at, but that's okay, because it's not personal. It's not... meant to discourage you. It's mostly meant to say, try harder. And you know, there's a long track record in the Linux community of people who've managed to get really good things in and get it in sooner than commercial companies have been able to. So clearly the model also works. So try harder.
There you go. I mean, I think people should be, by now we've got so much social media, people must be used to getting yelled at on the internet by now.
Yes.
Just go into a YouTube comment or a Twitter thread. You'll get yelled at, and then it won't seem so bad if you get yelled at in the Linux community.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the community is more polite.
Okay, that's great. See? Get off social media. Yeah. Go work with the Linux community.
Yep.
All right. So I wanted to go back to Rupa. You mentioned one of the benefits of working with Linux is being able to do things multiple ways and getting to use different tools and stuff. And when you mentioned tools, I immediately start thinking of automation and all the benefits that come with automating. It surprises me sometimes when I hear that people aren't leveraging automation. I just think of, like, you know, reduced time to configuration, reduced error rates. And I was wondering if either, actually both of you, I like hearing from both of you, if you had some answers as to why maybe automation is sometimes just left unappreciated, and, you know, where do you see the trend sort of going with adopting automation more often?
I have never understood the no automation or why it took so long to automate in the networking world, because to me, even a single line command that I do, I write it in a script. Seriously, I have tons of scripts. That's how when you start with Linux, and I've worked on Linux for my entire career, and you have your own workflow, things get easier, and so on. So with the trend today, with everybody moving to automation, and we have seen the benefits for scale and web scale and all that, I think it's a good trend, and Linux is the best place to.
Yeah, so I might have a slightly different historical, not different, but historical perspective on it, right? So the old data center model was you had hundreds of computers and maybe two switches to connect the hundreds of computers, right? Because that's what you built. And maybe you went from 100 computers to 1,000 computers, and you went from two switches to four switches. Learning how to write scripts, learning how to automate was an overhead not worth it, because at the end of the day, you were configuring the two boxes that you needed to do. Web scale changed that, right? Web scale came in and said, hundreds of computers, what are you? You should have at least 10,000 computers, then we are talking, right? And then you scale out to a million at some point. And once you do that, you're talking about thousands of networking devices, and the same problems that happened on compute now apply to the networking side of the house. So if you go with that, once you arrive at that, if you try to take your old school management model and model of operation, it basically fails, right? And then it fails badly. Now, of course, automation comes with its own class of problems, which is now I can take a mistake and propagate it like that. Because, you know, I just hit go and now 1,000 machines are running the wrong configuration.
Mistakes at scale,
that's right. So so what you need is you need a model that you can use for reference. You need to be able to test without having to buy expensive gear. You need to be able to put this in some sort of a continuous integration, continuous delivery cycle. You need to have some process around it. And you know what? The compute side, the server side, has figured this out like 10 years ago because they had to. Because most networking devices will connect to 40-plus servers. So the server scale was always at least 40 times more than the network scale. And it's now coming into the network side. Now, why what we are doing is significantly better is Linux gives you that framework that belt and suspender infrastructure, if you will, such that you can build the CI/CD, the continuous integration, continuous delivery infrastructure, such that you can automate without having to buy like a spare set of equipment. You can test things on your laptop, and when you're ready to go, you say, and you go. It's easy. So that's one of the big reasons why Linux has been so instrumental in making this transition. The other reason is that most of these tools, almost all of these tools, were invented for managing servers. And anybody want to guess what the servers are running? Linux. So the tools just apply to the network if the network is also running Linux. If you are running something else, then you have to port those tools. And that takes time, effort, expertise, and all the problems that it comes with.
All right. We're getting a little close to the end of our show. I wanted to maybe wrap up with one more. I do have one more definition and term up my sleeve that I want to throw at you. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. What is a boffin? That's B-O-F-F-I-N, if that helps.
The only boff.
Boffin is from coffin, and boss, ball is from boss.
Birds of feathers.
Birds of feather that run around in a coffin.
Something related to a boss.
Birds of feather meeting.
You took it
a
dark
coffin.
Place.
A boss?
No, it's not boss. I think boffin. It's probably like a mini boff, like a small boff.
A
small boff.
All right.
It's a recursive definition.
You know, I would actually like that to be the new definition. I think I like that. I like that a lot.
Mini boff.
All right. This one's a pretty obscure, and that's why I saved it for the best for last. But a boffin is an old term for a person engaged in scientific or technical research. A person knowledgeable or skilled enough to be considered complex or arcane. And for example, you might be known as a computer boffin. So put that on your resume, add that to your business cards. Yes. I am a certified boffin.
Well, I think we don't have pepcacks or boffins here, so I think we're things done. You know the whole distinction between science and
hackers,
engineers.
Oh, I'm very aware. You know, I did get hired here. They checked and made sure I knew the basics.
It was in your who are you and why do we care packet, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Why do we care? Well, I know the difference between science and engineering. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. I know I'm in marketing, but I know a few things.
Well, clearly you knew what a boffin is, and we didn't, so
yeah,
there you go.
See, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Big thanks to Rupa and Srijit for joining me. Loved having your expertise. If any of you want to get better acquainted with Linux, you can check out our Linux resources at cumulusnetworks.com. We'll actually include a few links in the description. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter and on Slack. We'll add those links in the description as well. Let us know if you have any questions or topics you want us to address in the future. Who knows? Your question could appear on the next episode. All right. Thanks again, and we'll see you later.
Thank you, Maddie.